It's time for All Things Gardening with our gardening expert, Charlie Nardozzi. I'm Karen Anderson, sitting in this week for Mary Engish. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi, Karen.
Charlie, I understand that home gardeners still have time to plant one of my family's favorite things to eat, and gardeners still have time to get a crop by fall, sweet potatoes. So what types of sweet potatoes do best in our growing zone, and can we plant them in raised beds, too?
Yes, Karen. You know, even though it's the end of June, we still have some time to get a quick crop of sweet potatoes in, and that's kind of an odd thing to say because sweet potatoes take a long time to grow. But if you use varieties like Beauregard and Vardaman and O. Henry, these are short season varieties that mature a little bit faster. So start with that. You'll have to try to find the slips locally. It's a little too late to start your own. But if you can get some slips, then there's a couple ways to really maximize the heat, which is what, of course, sweet potatoes really like. And those ways are using elevated raised beds. So not raised beds on the ground, but something that's up on legs that has about a foot deep of soil in it. That works really well for sweet potatoes because it keeps it off the ground, it heats up really fast, you can keep them watered, and it keeps the voles and the mice and the deer away from them, which is can be a problem in some gardens. So that's one way to do it. Another is with containers, especially if you have metal containers that will, again, absorb a lot of heat so it can keep that soil nice and warm. Those will be really great too. And the nice thing about containers is you can move them around. So when we get to August, September, and maybe you're getting more shade in certain areas of your yard, you can move them to the sunniest spot to maximize the amount of heat you get on your sweet potatoes. Use a combination of potting soil and compost, but don't use a compost or any kind of fertilizer that's high in nitrogen. That, if you do that, you're going to get a lot of sweet potato vines, but not a lot of tubers. That might not be a problem if you like eating the greens. And then come late in the season, as we get closer to frost in September, that's when you'll want to start digging them up. Maybe even explore a little bit, dig around and see how the tubers are forming. And before a frost, dig them up, put them in a place that'll be warm for about a week or two, 70 degrees, like in a garage or a shed, some kind of thing to cure them. And then store them in a 50 to 60 degree basement somewhere where it's nice and cool. And you can have some delicious sweet potatoes right there for you when you need them in the winter.
Amazing. Thanks, Charlie. Well, good luck to all of you listeners growing your sweet potatoes. Charlie, we've got a couple of listener questions for you. The first one is from Ingrid in Waterbury, who planted kiwi vines, which Ingrid says are beautiful and create a formidable green wall in the backyard, but they're difficult to maintain. So, Charlie, what's the best way for Ingrid to tackle those kiwi vines?
Well, Ingrid, you might want to have a different structure other than that fence. And I think in her email, she talked about putting some kind of metal structure up against the fence that she can try to train them horizontally, which is an excellent idea. What I would do this year is I would cut back those vines so that you only have one main trunk coming out from each plant. You want to let them grow up to those wires or those cross horizontal pieces, prune them so you have one branch going off on either direction on that wire and fasten them with fasteners, and do that for each one of those kiwis that you have. Cut back any of the branches coming off of those arms to about 3 to 4 buds, but the time to do that would be in the late winter. This summer, though, you can remove any suckers that are growing or any odd branches that are growing out. So you might be taking off a lot of the foliage of your kiwis. But what this is doing is creating a structure so that every year new branches are coming off the arms. You cut them back to 3 to 4 buds and you should get some nice fruit.
Okay, good to know. Well, good luck to Ingrid. Our next question is from Sherry in Brattleboro, who says, "Hi, Charlie. I just heard on All Things Gardening that the roots of lupins grow too deeply for my new septic system. I've worked hard to get them started on this wonderful space over our septic system. I'm brokenhearted. Do I just pull them up and cut off any shoots that appear after that? Can I save any of them by transplanting them into a new space? It has less than an acre of lawn and much has woods and oak trees along either side of it. To create a new space, I would have to dig up the grass on a different part of the lawn. Help!" What do you think, Charlie?
Well, Sherry, it is too bad, but yes, you probably should move those lupins because they do have tap roots. Now, on a septic mound, you'll have different lines where the mound is leaching all the materials, all the water. So if you can avoid putting them right on the lines, that's okay. If they're on the slope of a mound, a septic mound, that's probably okay. But if they're right on top, you do have to move those, and they don't transplant well. So I would say go ahead and prep a new area for a new patch, and if you can save some of them that are a little bit off that mound, you can probably leave those there.
Good luck with the lupins, Sherry. Next week on All Things Gardening, we'll do another lightning round episode of gardening questions. So if you have any for Charlie, send them to us at gardening@vermontpublic.org. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Karen. I'll be seeing you in the garden.